Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on? It's Matt here, flipweekly.com. Hope everyone's doing well. Hope you've all had a good week of sales. Hope you had some good garage sales on the weekend. I hit up some, hit up one actually, and it was a complete disappointment. I remember seeing an ad, thinking that I was going to clean up, getting there, and it was priced even beyond eBay standards, but I'll get into that a bit later. We've had a good week in sales. We've had a good week thrifting, picking up some cool items. Before I get into that, I'm announcing the winners of the Vinny's gift card competition giveaway contest thing. To celebrate the launch of the Flip Weekly podcast a few weeks ago, I created this competition on Instagram. All you had to do was like the post and follow the Instagram account, which is instagram.com/flipweekly, and I'd be giving away the $50 gift cards to three different people. So I have the winners to announce there. I haven't used the contest picker yet. I'm using one that I found on Google, so it'll be completely random. I have no say in it whatsoever, so the winners will be announced. I'll DM them, or I'll message them, or they'll message me. I'm not sure how it will work yet. I'll get those gift cards out to the winners. But like I said, awesome week of sales, awesome week of finding cool stuff, but also a milestone on my eBay account. I passed 300, or I have 300 positive reviews now, but that isn't to say that it's all been smooth sailing, because I recently got a neutral feedback on eBay, which I mean, what is the point of doing a neutral feedback? Like, you're a fence sitter, whether it was a positive or a negative experience. I don't understand. Neutral feedback on eBay is like the undecided voters in elections. They can't make up their mind, even though it's been put in their face for the past like 12 months, 24 months. This person was unhappy. Well, I mean, he wasn't unhappy. He was neutral for the item that I sent to him. But what happened was, when I was first starting out, I was buying things that I didn't really know would take forever to sell. So I picked up this DVD. It was like a combo pack of Austin Powers movies. It came in like this glittery cardboard case. I think I found it in a garage sale. I think I picked up like a whole bunch of DVDs in a tub that none of them would go on to sell quickly. Listed it up. Honestly, this must have been like early last year, maybe March or April, that I put this up on eBay. And you know, when you're listing something on eBay, you click on an existing listing and you can click like sell something like this or whatever it says. And that's what I did. And when I marked it as the condition, I chose like new. You have five different options or something like that. It's like brand new, other, like new, good, fair, so, I don't know, it's something like that. And in my infinite wisdom, I marked it as like new, even though it definitely wasn't like new. I took photos of the packaging and the inside, and you could clearly see on the cardboard that it wasn't like new. There was like smudge marks on the covers, there was corner wear, scratches, that type of stuff. So a reasonable person would see that, see the photos, and assume that, you know, I guess it isn't like new because the box is all dinged up. But this person received the DVD and they weren't happy that what they saw in the photos was what they got. And they gave me neutral feedback saying that the item was sold as like new, but it can't be described as like new because the box condition is poor, ripped in places, scratched in others, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, look, this is 100% my fault for marking it as like new, but this dude's bought it expecting it to be like new, even though he saw in the photos that it was all like dinged up. I don't know, like, why would you then buy it if you're expecting something that's like new? Were you hoping that like your eyes were lying to you and it would arrive in better condition? Anyway, I replied to his feedback and I just said, you know, I'm sorry for the oversight and that I can see that it isn't like new looking at the photos. And I said that if they have any issues with like the playback of the DVDs, that they can just message me for a return and a refund, which is, you know, what you should do. If you sell something and it's not how it's described, it is on you to take it back, to refund their money. Anyway, the guy ends up sending me a message and he repeats himself. He says that the DVDs were sold to me as new. Anyone seeing the cover alone could see it was worn and scratched. So I'm thinking like, okay, so you saw that they were worn and scratched, but you still bought them expecting them to be like new. He goes on saying that they play with no problem. So I'm thinking, you know, what's the problem? The problem is that he was expecting something like new, even though he could see that they weren't like new. It's just such, it's so conflicting. It's a pain in the ass, really. Anyway, he's gone on to say, please don't sell things as new. So he's giving me a lesson here. Please don't sell things as new when you clearly know they are not. This is after I told him it was an oversight, by the way. And then he goes on to say, and to have the cheek to say returns not accepted, when why do eBay allow you on here as traders? I won't be buying anything more from you. So this is at 9 o'clock at night. He's giving me this lesson after I've already told him that I can accept the refund if they don't work. He said they work. I've told him before that if there's an issue, he can return them. And he's sending me this message at 9 o'clock at night and using words like cheek and saying like, why does eBay allow you on here? As if selling a $20 DVD that works is such a big problem. I mean, again, this is all on me. It's all my fault. But this guy's bought, he's seen that it's not like new. He still bought it, expecting it to be like new. I don't understand. Anyway, 9 o'clock at night. I really dislike customer service. I do not like being in the role of somebody that has to accept. Look, this guy isn't the worst, okay? This guy isn't the worst. People in customer service roles have it a lot harder. People scream at them and they just have to reply, you know, in a professional manner. I could never fucking do that. You know, outside of eBay, what I do for a living, you know, I'm very much in favor of firing clients if they're troublesome or if they say something like this. Just the tone or the general sentiment of the way that they're speaking. So I just wouldn't want to deal with it. I would just be like, look, move on. Anyway, this guy has said that and it's 9 o'clock at night and I start my reply with, mate, I said in my reply, I won't read all of my reply, but I sent that through to him and he sent me back a message a few moments later saying, I'm sorry. He's apologizing, saying they're watchable. He's going to keep them there. He's trying to build a collection of DVDs from the past because streaming platforms either drop the films or charge silly money to watch them. That's what he said. And, you know, I was like, I'm going to reply. Just, I don't give a fuck. I didn't do that because I thought, you know, I might get banned from eBay and then this whole thing is just kaput. But I knew once I got to a milestone of like 300 positive reviews that something would bring me back down to earth, like pushing me back down, saying like, look, Matt, you can't be selling $20 DVDs that have scratch marks on the covers and listing them like new because that's incorrect and you're wrong and Jesus Christ. Anyway, I don't sell that stuff anymore. I don't want to be selling $20 DVDs and having somebody upset that their eyes lied to them. I mean, dude, why are you buying this if you want it like new and you can see that it's not like I can't. This guy, again, it's all my fault. I'm probably in the wrong, but still. But yeah, let's not get hung up on $20 DVDs because we don't buy that. We don't want to be talking about that. Do not buy Austin Powers' Shagadelic box if you see it in the wild because you'll sell it for $20 and you might have issues like this if you don't click the right button and marking it as the condition that you think it is because, even though you have photos. But yeah, let's move on. Let's move on from neutral feedback onto more positive things, the cool shit that we picked up in the thrift this week. Actually, before we hit the thrift, let's talk about the garage sales because I've been having zero luck at garage sales lately, mostly because they haven't really been on. I don't know what it's like in your area, but around me, it's just been barren. There hasn't been any really. There's been a few, but they've been far apart. So it's like, unless you want to be driving around for the entire Saturday morning, then it's a waste of time. But I saw a ad on garagesalefinder.com.au. Great website. For a sale that was around 30 minutes away from me, I saw that in the photos there was a couple of sports jerseys that, if sold, would easily make you like a lot of money. Like, there was maybe four or five. If I bought them, I would list them up on eBay for between like $300 to $1,000 each. They were that rare. They were old as fuck. They were signed to. Jersey collecting is sort of a bit weird though, you know. Sometimes signatures devalue a jersey, especially if it's like a shit person that's signing it. But I saw the ad and I saw the jerseys and I was like, okay, this will be the one that I'll go to. In the back of my mind, I'm also thinking, like, you know, other people would have seen this. There would have been a lot of inquiries. There would have been people rocking up probably the day before. And I noticed in the listing that the person had said no more photos will be sent out. So my expectations were quite low going out there. I thought that the messages from people might have just been from, you know, different states or from areas where they can't make it to the sale and they're wanting an item posted. And then, you know, some people don't like going to the post. I know when my sister and I did the garage sale trial, she keeps saying to me, like, this Ben 10 action figure won't sell. And I'm like, two people have wanted to buy it off Marketplace and you've just refused to go to the post office to ship it off. But yeah, people don't really like going to the post office. It can be a pain in the ass, especially if you're in like a metropolitan city and there's always lines out the door. But anyway, I went out there with low expectations and I rocked up. There was a couple of people already there taking a look around. I could see one jersey laying on a table. The person that was hosting the garage sale was an old man. He was 80 years old. We ended up having a pretty long chat towards the end of the sale, but he was an old man. He was selling his house. I assume he was going into a retirement home. And I asked him, you know, how much do you want for this jersey? And he said $400. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be like one of those type of sales. The jersey was probably a $300 jersey on eBay. It was one of the ones that weren't signed. And I was talking to the guy like, oh, you're a collector. You're a big sports fan, because there was some other sports stuff there. And he was saying, yes, a lot of this stuff is very sentimental to him. He showed me a couple of his books and he's like, these are very sentimental. He said, once I told him that, you know, I like buying and selling jerseys, he said that one of his friends had come around that morning and taken all of the jerseys to list on eBay for him, which I thought was, what did I think about that? It was, I was like, of course, it's basically what I thought was going to happen. Someone would sort of swoop in, but I'm glad that he's putting it online to make some money, because the worst thing that he would want to have happen to him is someone like me come in and buy them for a low amount of money to resell when he can just get that for himself. But yeah, when he started telling me that the stuff was sentimental, I was like, okay, I'm not even gonna bother. When it comes to sales now, I don't really like to haggle. I just like to hear what they're selling the item for, and if it matches what I think I would pay for it, then I just accept it. I really don't like haggling anymore, you know. There was often times that I would just lowball the fuck out of people, but I'm just over that now. It's to pay what you think it's worth, or if they ask me what I would pay, then I would just be honest and tell them what I'll pay. So $400 for that jersey, I was like, okay, no. I was taking a look around and there was some other stuff. They're like empty Jim Beam bottles, but from, I was about to say the 1800s. No, they were like from like 50s, 60s maybe. And they sell for about $200 on eBay. And I asked him how much he wanted for them. And he was like $75 a piece. So $150 for both. And I'm just thinking, like, you could probably make a bit of money, but I didn't even take that much money out with me. You know, I don't want to be spending $150 at a garage sale for two items that I could sell for like maybe $300. So yeah, I was just talking to the guy. I ended up telling him, you know, don't accept anything less for these because you can sell them for more. He's like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, when your friend comes back, try and get him to take these as well. But I did buy one thing from him just because I didn't want to leave empty-handed. What I bought was like this old 1994 souvenir book for a grand final of a sporting event here in Australia. I was like, how much do you want for this book? It's pretty cool. It's a bit of history. I looked at it and I was like, I might be able to get $20 or $30 from this. And he's like, give me 10. I was like, gee. I'm like, oh man, if this was any other sale, I'd be paying like $1 for this thing. But I was like, yeah, okay, gave him $10, walked away, chalked it up to, you know, like a $10 admission to see all this old sporting gear. You know, this guy had a lot of stuff, and I should probably check to see if his friend did put the jerseys on eBay to see what they're asking for. I might do that. Bear with me for a sec. Okay, sorry about that. I'm back, but with the power of the edit, it's like I never went away. Excuse the sound of the mouse as I'm telling you about these items, because I found the eBay listings for these jerseys. I was able to find the exact account that's now selling them. So the jersey that I saw in the garage sale photo gallery is up on eBay. This person has set it up as an auction. These are for the signed jerseys, and it's got 3 days left, and it's got two bids. It's at $404. There's another one there that two bids, $399. So this person's put them all up as auctions. There's another one that's $399. There's another one, $399. Another one, $399. Those $399 ones, they don't have any bids. So if we add up all of that, let's see how much the jerseys, or let's see how much all that memorabilia would have been if this guy didn't find it sentimental and we could have swooped in and offered like $50 for the lot. Okay, so that's an even $2,000 for those items. That was just sitting in this old man's house, ready to be sold at a garage sale. Whilst the guy didn't sell it, it just shows that there's so much value at sales, and it's why everyone should be going to them. Because I think for somebody that didn't find them to be sentimental, and they're just like old jerseys they have laying around that they want to get rid of, there's no reason why you couldn't have gotten these for like $20 each, you know, like, oh, it's an old jersey, or it's an old football that has a few signatures, maybe $50, or make an offer for the lot. And yes, it's lowballing, but if that's what the person is happy with, you could just walk away with $2,000 worth of stuff. But yeah, that's the power of garage sales, man. Let's talk about what I found in the thrift store this week. Not just a single thrift store. It'd be nice if I found all of this in a single thrift store. No, in multiple thrift stores. One thing I really dislike about thrifting is, as a middle-aged dude, getting to the cash register, getting to the checkout, every single time the person is looking at the item, looking at me, looking at the item, and just making not inappropriate comments, but just asking me questions about what I'm buying. Sometimes I tell them like I buy and sell, or I buy interesting things to write about. But most of the time I just want to get the fuck out of there without talking. And I just knew when I picked up this item that I had some explaining to do. It was a bundle of Total Girl magazines from like the early 2000s. Total Girl was like this thing of like whatever a woman's magazine is. It's like half the size, and it was marketed towards teenage girls, or maybe a bit younger than that. It was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago maybe. And the people on the covers are people like Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus, people like that. When they were younger. So in a way, it's sort of like vintage Taylor Swift, vintage Miley Cyrus. There was like maybe 20 to 25 of these magazines there. I just thought like Taylor Swift is everywhere these days. You know, you can't watch an NFL game without hearing about Taylor Swift. You know, the Super Bowl was on, Taylor Swift's team lost. I don't know why that's relevant, but it's just in my sphere of Taylor Swift. And I just thought, you know, like, she's so popular that if I get these, what is essentially vintage Taylor Swift magazines, maybe they will sell. I didn't do any comp research on these. I just picked out 10 of the best from the 25, from the bundle of like 20, 25 there. I picked the celebrities that I thought were the most relevant or had the biggest fan bases. The fact that I picked Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus, I don't think those two are equal anymore. But they were really the only ones I knew. I know about Ariana Grande, sort of. There's a few other people that were like Disney stars. So I picked out who I thought would be the quickest to sell. They were a dollar each. I could have bought them all, but you know, they weren't all the same magazine. There was like some Total Girl, some like, I don't know, Totally Girl. I don't know what they were, but they weren't all Total Girl. I thought listing them up, I'll just be able to list them up as like bundle of Total Girl magazines, Taylor Swift, blah, blah, blah. When I checked out comps, you know, they were surprisingly good. There was like, there was a few there of like selling on bid Total Girl magazine bundle for $54 plus 14 postage. So what does that add up to? Like, that's over $60, 66 something, for what amounted to 12 Total Girl magazines. $66 for 12 Total Girl magazines, yeah. And then there was another one that was 8 Total Girl magazines that had Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez, Taylor Swift for $42, free post. So, I don't know, I had 10 of these. I had a lot of Taylor Swift. I was like, what if I just chuck these up for $60 free post? Maybe that would sell. And they haven't sold just yet, but fuck, have they got some views. Let me check the views for you. 41 views, a couple people watching. Yeah, I mean, I think these are going to sell. And it's a bit of nostalgia for people that grew up in, I guess, the 90s or the very, very early 2000s. These are from 2010 to 2014, so about 10 to 15 years old. This could be a cool category to keep an eye out for at garage sales. I can just picture a big box full of all these old magazines that people are wanting to get rid of and they don't think that it's worth anything. But I mean, when you break it down like I have, it's vintage Taylor Swift. Especially if you can find one that has like posters or I don't know what they gave away with these magazines when they were sealed, like bookmarks or fluffy pens or glitter things, anything like that. And you know, because then it's like a unique rare collector's piece, right? Like it's a poster or a poster of a photo shoot that no longer exists. Somebody would want that stuff. So yeah, 41 views, $60, cost me $10. 10 into 60, it's not that great for me, but it's an interesting category. And it was like, oh, this could be something. So yeah, I was just testing it out. And I think, yeah, it's going to sell and sell soon. With that amount of views, people are interested in it. So yeah, I mean, keep your eye out for Total Girl or even just like magazines with celebrities on them that are now relevant. If you've been following the podcast and the newsletter for a while now, you'll know that I'm a big sports guy. I love my sports, football, basketball, cricket. What else sports are there? If there's sport on TV, I usually watch it. I can usually get into any sport. So I found this next item in a thrift. It was in the glass section, which is not a section that I usually buy things from because I don't know anything about glass. I don't know the brands. I can't really differentiate between, I don't know, crystal. Is crystal even a glass? Crystal glass, and like you see gold rim glasses and you're like, oh, gold. And it's like, no, that's like a couple bucks if that. I don't know anything about them. I'm sure there's a category there. I picked up a few at garage sales before where they're like old, like beer brands. They've seemed to do okay for me. Horrible to ship. But yeah, I've picked up a few of them before. People like that stuff for, you know, man caves and stuff. So I found these four drinking glasses and they caught my eye because they had a little graphic on the side of them. And that's what I'm attracted to, I think, like pop culture stuff when it comes to glasses. It'd be a weird category, you know, pop culture on glasses. You'd mostly see, you know, those old Simpson glasses, like the Nutella ones where they had Nutella for some reason came in a glass and it had prints on the outside. There's the Looney Tunes ones. They're always priced up in thrift stores. They're always like $10 each. And I think online they sell for like that too. You know, there's no money to be made in them. But I saw these ones. They had the print. You know, I walked over to them. I usually look at the glass from afar because I don't know anything. If I look at them up close, it's basically the exact same as if I look at them from afar. But yeah, I went over to them and I saw that there were these cricketers. I sort of follow the cricket. I know pretty much like all the current Australian players. I know that Australia is playing tonight at the time of recording against South Africa. Hopefully Australia wins. I have a cheeky bet on it. But the graphics weren't of like current cricketers. They were older cricketers. You could tell, you know, older cricketers, they just looked different. And I had a closer look and I could see that underneath the graphics that there was like a copyright 82. And I'm thinking, are these like 1982 drinking glasses? I inspected each of them. They all had that copyright and they all had different cricketers on them. There was Dennis Lilly, Greg Chappell, Rod Marsh and Alan Border. So of those four, I knew most of them. I know Dennis Lilly is like one of Australia's greatest fast bowlers of all time. Rod Marsh is the father, I think, of Sean Marsh and Mitchell Marsh, current cricketers. I think Rod Marsh has passed. Alan Border, everyone knows Alan Border. Greg Chappell, everyone knows Greg Chappell. I say this and you probably think, I have no fucking idea who they are. But anyway, they're some of Australia's greatest cricketers of all time. I checked out the comps. I scanned one of them. I scanned the Rod Marsh one and I came across... I came across like three listings, and the listings were, one of them was like all four glasses combined, and then the other two were the individual glasses of Rod Marsh. So there's only three active listings for all of this stuff. And the individual glasses, we had two comps. One was 60 plus post, one was 85 plus post. Okay, let that sit for a second. Then there was another listing that was all three of them, all four of the glasses, and that was for $300 plus post. it's just insane for drinking glasses. And I come on here and I talk about all these like unique finds each week and things that sell for hundreds of dollars, as if I feel like I sort of give off a vibe of like, oh well, obviously he's getting these from behind from like the back room or I don't know, something's up. But that generally just came across these fucking things. And yeah, they look to be four drinking glasses that could sell for $300. Just yeah, and they had activity too. They weren't just like somebody asking $300 and there was no one watching them. The $300 listing had four watches. The individual glasses had seven. And I checked sold comps. They don't come up that often. You know, that 1982 drinking glasses. Think of how many times people move in their lifetime. How much glass gets broken. You know, I only helped my mum move last week or the week before, and you know, her birthday's in a few days, and she asked me for a mirror. Why? Because the mirror broke during the move. So things break during moves. These glasses have been alive for longer than me. I mean, it's 2025 and they're 1982. Do the maths. So yeah, there was only the one sold comp, and that was for $100 plus post. Somebody finding these and then listing them up for $300 when they've only sold in the past 90 days for 100 is a bit of a stretch. But I don't think it's that much of a stretch. I'm not going to list mine up for 300. I think, you know, I paid, I think each glass, how much did I pay for the glasses? I think they're like $3 each. Did I pay $3 or $4 each? I paid $12 for all of them. So I paid $3 each for the glasses. I think if I can turn $12 into splitting the difference, $200, then that will net me $150 profit. Asking price is a bit more reasonable. Yeah, I mean, you can't complain, right? Like 12 into $200 for a couple of drinking glasses. I'll have to make sure they're properly packed up and boxed and bubble wraps, butcher's paper, anything else that I have laying around to ship them off, because the last thing you want is for these things to break during the shipping process. You know, we've dealt with shit like that before, but yeah, crazy, crazy find. And I think, I don't know what the lesson is here, because these things are hard to find, but I'll just say, like, glasses with the little graphics on the side of them, worth looking into. Just avoid the Simpson ones, the Looney Tunes ones, especially if they're in thrift stores, because you're not going to be getting them for cheap and they don't sell for that much money. I think they're like $10-15 each. Or you could ask for a bit more, but they'll be a long seller. If you can find them at a garage sale for like a dollar each, you might be able to flip them on Marketplace, like a dollar into 10 for each glass. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, always be checking out the copyrights on graphics. But yeah, this is just vintage cricket memorabilia, I guess, for world famous cricketers. And it's turned out to be a definite win. Now, before I get into this week's topic of Pokemon cards, really quickly, two books that I found that were signed. I really love finding signed books. You know, I became a reader like 3 years ago. Before that, I'd never really read a book. You know, I think I started Goblet of Fire when I was a teenager and I read like 200 pages and then I was like, I'm done. I didn't pick up a book since then. And then I made a goal to read X amount in a year, surpassed that. And now I love reading. At the moment, what I'm reading are the Mask comic books, which I'm not a comic book guy. I didn't grow up with them, but for some reason, I just really wanted to read the Mask comic books, which is unusual. I bought them off eBay. For some reason, I wanted to read them because I heard that the comics are much more graphic than the movie. The movie's sort of like a PG, whereas the comic books are like an R. You know, there's certain scenes in the movie where Jim Carrey's The Mask is like making balloon animals for the gang members, and then he pulls out a Tommy gun and everyone runs away. Apparently in the book, in the comic, it's a lot more graphic. He actually does stuff with those gang people. But anyway, off topic that was. Yeah, I love finding signed books, especially books that I don't see at the thrift all the time. I see the same books everywhere, so it's very easy for me to spot a book that is unusual or different because it's always the same stuff. So the first one I spotted was by Mara Wilson called Where Am I Now? If you go on the newsletter, you'll be able to see a photo of the book. But Mara Wilson, you may not know the name, but you definitely would recognize her. She was in the film Matilda. She played the kid. She played the kid Matilda. And she was in Mrs. Doubtfire. Again, she played the kid. She was a child actress. What ended up happening was she grew up and Hollywood told her that she was growing up to be somebody that wasn't as acute as they were when they were much younger. So she, in a way, like aged out of Hollywood, which is really sad. And she talks about all this sort of stuff in her book. And, you know, I grew up on those movies. I loved Matilda. I loved Mrs. Doubtfire. You know, Robin Williams was one of the best of all time. And she was also in, Miracle on 34th Street. A bunch of others that I didn't really see before my time or whatever. I say before my time, I think they probably came out around the same time because she's in them. But yeah, I have never seen this book in a thrift store before. And, you know, I picked it up because I thought, well, I might actually want to read this. And opened it up like I usually do and I found her signature. Mara Wilson was a bit of a Hollywood icon in terms of being a child star. You know, when you think about child stars, she would be up there, right, as one of the most famous or one of the most recognizable because of those movies. They're such iconic movies, Matilda and Mrs. Doubtfire and Miracle on 34th Street. But yeah, she might be one of the best. I looked up the comps for the book and people are asking for hundreds of dollars, like $300. I put the comps on the newsletter. There's one, $346 in the US, has six people watching. There's another one that is $168, but that is inscribed. So it's like inscribed to somebody else. So if you're buying that, if I'm buying that book, I would then have a book that says to Priscilla, I love Mara Wilson. So those sort of books aren't as desirable for people, obviously. Imagine giving that to somebody and they're like, why did you give me a book that has somebody else's name in it? There's another one that's for $343. There was only seven results for a signed book and they're all around that price. So it could potentially be like a $350 book. However, I don't know. I think that's a bit much. You know, when I list my books that are signed for smaller sort of stars, it's around like the $49.95 mark, or if they're a bit bigger, it's around the $100 mark. I looked at autographed Mara Wilson stuff just to see what people are actually paying for her autograph. And, you know, there's signed prints that are around like the $150, $100 mark. So I think like let's list up around that price. I do think that a book is more valuable than just a signed photograph because, you know, you're getting the book and the story with it. There's not much you can do with a photo. I don't understand people that buy photos that are signed. Either way, I paid $3.99 for the book. And if I can list it for $99.95, which is what I did, $100, already has someone watching it. I think that would be a good sale for us. And I mean, how many times have I said, check for signatures in books? Because it's such an easy way to turn $2-$3 into at least, you know, $50 to $100. It's such a great entry category for people. If you're just getting started, it is such a great entry category. Imagine finding a signed book like I did of somebody that's passed away and it sells in a day or 24 hours or whatever I sold the Olivia Newton-John book for. Sold it for $250 in like a, and how long was it? It was like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours overnight. I don't know. Anyway, it sold quickly. It's such a good category. And I found another one this week of a book that I'd never seen in a thrift store before. And the book was The Disaster Artist. The book is based on the actor Greg Sestero's experience filming a movie called The Room. Okay. And The Room, I don't want to spoil it for people. The Room was a very interesting movie. It's become a cult classic. And yeah, Greg wrote a book about his experience. Then that book got turned into a movie on its own, starring James Franco and Dave Franco, Seth Rogen, that sort of bunch. So we have this book in the middle that's based on a movie, and then it also got turned into a movie. The book was by, like I said, Greg Sestero, who's an actor. He signed this book, which I thought was really cool. He wasn't the main actor in the movie The Room. The main actor was a man named Tommy Wiseau. I really wish that Tommy had signed this book, because to have both those signatures, Greg Sestero and Tommy Wiseau, you could ask, I mean, you could ask for whatever you want. I could chuck it out for $500 and wait a year to sell it. It was just Greg though, so I've listed it for $50. I think it will sell. I think I might actually read the book too, because I've seen the movie this book got turned into, and I've seen the movie that the book is based on, and they're both great in their own ways. But yeah, if you haven't seen The Room, check it out. And if you haven't seen The Disaster Artist, check it out. I would say watch The Room first, and send me a message what you think about it. Either way, this is a great signed book. Sometimes I wish that like I wasn't selling this stuff, because my bookshelf would be filled with the most eclectic mix of signed or like autographed books ever. But anyway, they'll be out the door. I think I paid like $2 for this book. Yeah, I did. I paid $2 for it, two into 50. So yeah, from those two books, it's what, like $6 total cost of goods, and then they'll sell for like $150. And you know, if those books weren't signed, they're probably like $20 total. So those autographs are so fucking important. And if you get a really good one day, it just makes it all worth it. And I hope that one day that I can find people that I admire. And you know, I'm not saying that I don't admire Mara Wilson and Greg Sestero. Like, they're great people. They're just not, I'm not fans, you know. I would love to find, my holy grail would be a signed Norm Macdonald book, or like Bill Burr hasn't written a book, but I'd love to find like a signed Mandalorian figure with Bill Burr. That would never happen. It would never happen in a thrift store. The Norm one, probably not either. He's didn't make it as big here in Australia, but it would be really cool to find, you know, somebody that I admire signed autograph in a thrift store, because there really isn't that much that I've bought from a thrift that I've kept for myself. Anyway, again, getting off topic, but let's move on to the Pokemon stuff, because that was just bizarre. So I'm still in disbelief that I found this. It's not the biggest find. I'm just so surprised that I was able to find sealed Pokemon cards in a thrift store. It is honestly like finding gold. Not that it's worth as much as gold. It's worth about, you know, $100 for the tin. But since when do thrift stores ever put out Pokemon stuff, let alone a sealed tin of Pokemon cards that contain sealed booster packs of Pokemon cards? Like, what the fuck? So I went into this thrift store in a suburb that is sort of close to me, but it's not a very nice area, okay? It was funny. There was one time I was at this thrift store, and there was a man that was outside sitting on the bench, and he was drinking out of like a brown paper bag. He was obviously drinking like a long neck or some type of liquor. And I was inside browsing, and this guy, he's like having a time of his life. He's just out there, out outside the thrift store, just drinking and just chilling, listening to the music. And he comes inside and he says to the staff at the thrift store, "Can you turn the music up so he can hear it better when he's out there just having a drink?" That's what this area is like. And yeah, I was in there and I couldn't really find anything. And I came across the Pokemon tin on the shelf, and I was thinking, you know, I guess it's like the empty tin. It's the, is it a hexagon I don't know shapes, but I think it's like a hexagon shaped tin, and it had plastic maybe like 6/10 of the way around it, so it wasn't completely factory sealed, but it was sealed enough, and it had a $4 price tag. So immediately I think, you know, this is empty. And, you know, I don't collect Pokemon cards from the recent eras. You know, for me, Pokemon was the original 150, and that's it. You know, I couldn't get enough of Pokemon as a kid. Nowadays, I think, I don't know, it's sort of like a lottery system, right? Like, I'll get into that a bit later. But anyway, I don't know that much about Pokemon now. I don't know any of the Pokemon. So, but I know enough about the tins in the sense that I see them all the time. They're in every store. I know them enough to recognize that, like, there was the little cardboard promo card that was in the window. So that was still in there. So I was like, okay, well, something's still in there. And I gave it a bit of a shake and I couldn't hear anything, which I think is what the thrift store staff must have done. They must have given it a shake, thought it was the empty tin, even though there's the plastic still around it. Go to the newsletter if you want to see photos, or go into Instagram to see. I took the plastic a tiny bit more off because I wanted to know what I was buying. You know, thrift stores don't like it when you look to see what you're buying, but I took a tiny bit more of the plastic off. I opened the lid like sort of halfway without removing the entire plastic, and I could see packs inside. And I was like, okay, this is literally a tin of Pokemon cards, like basically factory sealed brand new for $4. There's no way I'm leaving this behind. So I picked it up. I was a bit worried going to the counter, thinking that, you know, they're going to stop me in my tracks, being like, yeah, there's no way we're selling this for $4. You know, Pokemon cards in a thrift store, they're always behind the counter, or they're always like in the glass cabinets. They put them in bags. They don't let you open the bags. They staple them shut and they mark them up like 10 to 100 times what they're actually worth. And, you know that they've been picked through like 100 times out the back. It's just common sense, right? But yeah, I checked out, not a problem. I actually went next door and I was buying a few things and I had them in my hand, and the guy behind the counter saw the price tag, and was like, do you just get those for $4? I was like, yeah, I did. Like, I couldn't believe it. He's like, were there any more? And I was like, no, if there was any more, I would have snatched them all up. And he's just like gobsmacked. And that just made me think, like, okay, this guy's a Pokemon fan and he knows that this must be a valuable tin that I paid $4 for. I got home, I checked out the comms. I could see that this is worth like at least $130-$150 if it was factory sealed. It wasn't factory sealed, so take off like a couple of bucks, whatever. However, I decided to take off all the seals so I could like open it up. I assumed that I couldn't sell this as factory sealed, so I might as well take the plastic all the way off. And what I saw went inside, what I thought was packs that didn't belong. So there was four packs inside. Two of them said like Sun and Moon, which is a type of Pokemon collection, I guess. And the other one was like Evolutions, and the other one was something else. So there was like packs that I thought shouldn't have been in there. So now in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, the reason this was half off was somebody has like pulled out the packs that they've wanted and put back in fake packs. So now my priority is working out if these are real or fake. So I do some Googling, and I see that like if there's glue around them, if they've been resealed, if there's like if the cards shift inside of the pack, if there's air in there that shouldn't be in there. And I'm just thinking like, oh, I feel like these are fake now. My mind is like, they're fake. I can't sell them. I don't want to risk selling them. So the only thing I can really do is open them myself. So before I do that, I film a video of me taking off the plastic on the outside, showing the camera like the seal of the cards. And I put up the video just asking like, does anyone know if these are real or fake? I also include, you know, the video of me in the thrift store finding them. And that was on Saturday. So Saturday night I went out. Sunday morning I woke up and I saw the video had like thousands upon thousands of views, and people were like giving their opinion and talking about like, just open them. Some people were saying like the packs looked legit. And I'm just thinking like, nobody has said anything about the fact that two packs in here shouldn't have been in there. So I thought. So I get home and I look on the back to see if it says anything about what sort of packs are going to be in there. It doesn't. So I decide to jump onto YouTube. And because these packs are from like 2017, there's no real recent information about them. So I find somebody that opened up this exact same tin like 7 years ago or whatever. The person opens up the tin and they have very similar packs to me, or they have packs that are different. So now I'm thinking, oh, these are real. These are real. And this is after I've gone to like Officeworks to buy a tripod for my phone so I can record myself opening the packs. So now I'm like, oh shit, now I can actually sell them. But I'm thinking, well, my video has gotten like 10,000 views on Instagram. I'm sort of like now committed to opening the packs because I want to get like some more views, try and grow, you know what I mean? So I'm now tossing up, do I sell them for like $100 or do I just open them? And at the end of the day, I'm like, look, I want that dopamine hit of like a video getting thousands of views. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll open them. I set up the tripod that I just bought in my little setup area, in my little play area. And I filmed the video of me unwrapping these packs, going through it, doing like the card trick. There's like a trick that you need to do with these cards so that the rare card is put to the back. And it's like you take three cards from the back, you switch them around. It's like a fucking magic trick. I had to like Google and watch videos on how to open a pack of cards and how to do the card tricks. I felt so dumb, man. So I do these little card tricks and I'm like going through them. I have no idea who these Pokemon are, by the way. So I have no reaction. I'm just opening them being like, okay, they don't look like they're good cards. And then I found one that looked sort of shiny and it was Blastoise, which I know is like one of the bigger ones. And I'm like, oh, this card looks good. You know, I honestly felt like when you're playing a poker machine and you see all the little things come up on the screen, you're like, oh, that should pay. And then you get nothing from it. It honestly felt to me like I was gambling. You know, I was getting that dopamine that you get when you're playing any sort of like slot machine, which, you know, these are marketed towards kids or young adults or even adults. I don't know. It just feels like gambling, man. I don't want to get too much into that, but yeah, I felt like I was gambling. Like you want that hit of getting the rush of getting a good card, you know, and kids are doing this sort of stuff. That's something. But yeah, I didn't know what these cards were. I guess I pulled a Blastoise. A Mega Blastoise. I pulled another one that's shiny. I don't know its name. Go on Instagram, instagram.com/flipweekly to see all of the cards that I pulled. And I looked up all the shiny ones to see if they were worth anything. Oh, that's the other thing, man. 90% of these cards are like discarded, right? Like nobody keeps the cards that aren't shiny or holographic. I don't know how Pokemon cards sit with me nowadays, because as somebody that's ruined, not ruined, but as somebody that has been gambling and has had bad relationships with that sort of thing in the past, to have kids growing up on this now, it just feels sort of a bit sick, right? Like a bit exploitative. It's like scratchies or like the lotto. You want your number to hit. You want to pull the right card. Anyway, I don't want to make buying Pokemon cards a thing now because I don't want another crutch like that. But I scanned some of the cards that I thought would be worth money. Turns out they were like worth a dollar. There was two cards that were worth around $20 to $30 on eBay, and that was the Mega Blastoise and there was another shiny one. So I think if I was to sell those two, I could make about $50 to $60. However, I don't know. I feel like there would be a certain way that you have to ship off Pokemon cards, or I'm not going to sell them. I'm actually going to give them away. And I put something on Instagram about that if you want to check it out. But yeah, I just honestly couldn't believe it. You know, Pokemon cards in a thrift store for $4 and they're sealed booster packs. These packs sell individually for like $20 to $30 or the tin, $100 to $150. It's just, I couldn't believe it. I don't think that will ever happen again. I would put a bet. I mean, talking of gambling, I mean, how hypocritical of me, you know, like how I've talked about having a bet on tonight on the cricket. I'm against gambling for kids. And now I'm betting you that I would never find these again. I bet you or I will never find sealed Pokemon in a thrift store ever again. That may be the most unique thing that I've ever done in my life. I've been the one person to find sealed Pokemon packs in a thrift store for like 1% of what they're actually worth. Well, 4% of what they're actually worth. So I mean, I guess that makes me unique. That's that's my talent, or my, I'll go down in history, I guess. But yeah, I was I won't get over that. Something I'll be telling my children one day. But anyway, if you want to watch the unboxing, the unwrapping, or if you want to watch me find those, go onto Instagram and you'll be able to find all of the videos. Now it's time to announce the winners of our first ever competition / contest / giveaway for the Flip Weekly podcast. The contest was for, I mean, I say contest, you're not in a fucking running race. All you had to do was jump onto Instagram and like a photo. I mean, that's the contest. I was giving away $50 Vinny's gift cards, which is a thrift store here in Australia. You could win one of three. All you had to do to be in the draw was to follow the Flip Weekly Instagram account, yeah, like the post, tag a friend, just very basic stuff. We had a decent amount of entries, which is nice, and I'm about to go through and find the winners of those gift cards. So in order to do that, I'm using a website in real time called wask.co. Wask is a Instagram giveaway picker, and it's going to go through the post, find three randomly generated winners. You can use like filters and stuff with it in order to find people. So I've entered in the URL and it's scanning, and then it finds the attendance, and from there it determines the winner. So it says to me here, congratulations, here are the winners. It then says that I need to register to see more. So bear with me for 1 second. I'm going to register on this website and then I'm going to announce the winners. Okay, so I have registered. I am pasting in the Instagram URL right now. It's scanning the post. We are then going to select the number of winners. I'm going to choose three winners and we're going to find the winners. Oh, now it's asking me for money. It's asking me for money. Okay, now we're going to have to find a different website to do this with. Okay, I've now got another website. All of these come up under free and they all have title tags saying free. The last one said that I'd exceeded the amount of free turns, which is ironic considering I've never used that website before in my life. But we're going to load it on a different website. I've inputted the URL and we're going to select the, what does it say, number of winners. Select that and let's go through it here. It says it's making a little preparation. Let's click continue and it's loading, and we're going to get the winners in a second. It's getting them all. It looks like it's generating them all. And is it going to ask me for my credit card? Is it? I'm scrolling. Where are the winners? Where are the fucking winners? What is this? See, start, result link, start, winners. Oh, here we go. Okay, so that was fucking weird. Okay, the winners are, I think it's going to generate them. Smart Tatiana is the first winner, congratulations. The second winner is Urban City Cells, and the third winner is, it's like going through all of them, it's very satisfying to watch, is Diacristo David. Congratulations, you've all won tickets to Willy Wonka's Factory. Send me through your postal address. I'll get out your Vinny's gift cards to you. I'll probably DM you, actually. Yeah, it's probably easier. And congratulations, thank you for entering. If you're tagging people, if you've been listening to the podcast or you've been reading the newsletter for a while, I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you engaging with the post too. I was a bit worried that nobody would end up entering and then I'd have to, then it would just be like, well, no one entered. It was a bit sad, but no, thank you to those people. Smart Tatiana, Urban City Cells, DeCristo David, guys are legends. Thank you very much. Yeah, I guess stay tuned to the podcast and the newsletter for more contests in the future, because I really liked the way this played out. I enjoyed seeing the engagement, and I also saw like a couple of new people come along, which is cool. So thanks again. I'll be in touch. That concludes the podcast for this week. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget, you can see everything that's been mentioned in this podcast on the newsletter at flipweekly.com. And if you like watching videos, check out the Instagram page and the YouTube channel. There's the YouTube shorts and the Instagram reels of some of the things that I've mentioned today, including, you know, the Pokemon cards, the unpacking of those. If you're listening to this on a platform where you can rate or review a podcast, really appreciate that. Trying to grow this as much as I can in the next 12 months. Those people that won the contest, I will be in touch. I'm sure there's sales on this week, garage sales on this weekend that you're going to go to. Hit me up if you find something cool. Remember that I do reads on this podcast every now and again. You can write in by going to flipweekly.com, clicking the contact button, or you can just email me directly at matt@flipweekly.com. I love hearing from you guys. I love reading out all your success stories or your questions. So do that. I'll see you again next week. Have a great week. I'll talk to you then. Bye. Now it's time to say what I sold this week. I know this has been running for a while, so I'm going to be sort of quickish with these what's sold. I'm going to go through them real quick with you guys. The first item is the Sony PSP that I picked up just the other day. You know, this was picked up in a thrift store for $60. It was completely boxed. It had all the accessories. It had no games whatsoever. Thrift stores do not value boxed video game consoles. They market them as if they're loose consoles. I knew this. It sold for $150 plus post. It sold on Marketplace within 2 days. Amazing sale. Instant, what is that, $90 in profit? It's something that you should be aware of when buying video game consoles from a thrift store. I mean, they don't come up that often, but when they do, just know that the box alone plus the accessories make things worth more. The next item is the password journal that I picked up in issue number 49. I got it for $20. It was in like the junk section of the thrift store. It was completely factory sealed. It had like this bag around it at the same time. This was a very hot toy when I was growing up. I think my sisters had this. It was essentially a journal that was electronic, voice activated, and once you spoke to it, like, hey, journal, or I mean, something like that, it would open up. Instead of a lock, it would be your voice. It was ahead of its time, really. You know, this thing was from 2004. Yeah, it was using voice technology. I ended up selling this within a couple of issues. Like I said, from issue number 49, it went off to the US. I got $175 profit from it, and the buyer paid $61 in postage and tax. So this thing was worth picking up because the buyer thinks it's worth close to $300. The next item that sold was the item I talked about in last week's newsletter, the anime, not to say porn, the anime DVD that had some nudity and alcoholic themes. Picked it up for $6, sold for $150. No, it sold up for $145. It's off somewhere in Australia. I made a video about that on Instagram. You can check it out there. We love DVDs that sell quickly. I've told you in last week's podcast, you can racially profile DVDs. I give you the permission to do that. It's worked out well for me. You can make some big money from these anime DVDs. And like I said, $6 into $145 within a week. Who's saying no to that? The next item from there was a Game Boy game that was complete in box. This goes back to the video game console that I talked about just moments ago, where they're not priced as if they're boxed. They're priced as if they're loose. And thrift stores haven't caught on yet. So I was able to get this perfect dark Game Boy Color game for $18, when in reality it sells in its box for $75 on eBay every single day. You know, and it only netted me $35 profit, but I just knew that this thing was going to sell and sell quickly. You know, I brought it home, I put it on my shelf, it looked cool for a while, and then, you know, off. So boxed Game Boy games, yes, they're cool, they will make you money, but just know the thing to take away from here isn't like buy every single Game Boy game you can find in the thrift store, because there's going to be very, very few. But when they do come up, know that they likely will price them based on just the game and the game alone. Not that it has its accessories, not that it has its box. The next item was just to illustrate from a couple of newsletters ago that accessories sell things. And look on the newsletter right now, okay? This item is like 2 centimeters. It weighs like 5 grams, if that. It is a Mighty Max micro figure, okay? It came in one of the play sets. Remember in a few issues ago, from issue number 52, just the other month, I picked up a Beauty and the Beast Polly Pocket sort of thing, and it came with like the Beast and the Beauty. And I said to you that if this didn't have those two micro figures, it'd be worth nothing. So I found in a thrift store, I don't know how, because these things are so small, I found 2 Mighty Max figures, and they cost me like a dollar. I brought them home, I put them in a drawer, I completely forgot about them. They were the figures that go with Mighty Max playsets. And I thought, someone one day will buy these. I put it up for $25 plus post. Somebody's come through with an offer of $20. I've accepted it. And I ended up sending it as a letter too, so it saved me a bit of money. But yeah, check out how small this figure is. Fits within like a finger, and yet it sells for like $20 plus post. I mean, like, it just shows how valuable these little micro figures are in playsets. Check out the newsletter. It has all the photos. I'm sorry that I went through this so quickly, but this has been dragging on for a bit. I just want to get through it for you guys.